For our scripture reading this morning, I'll be reading again from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21 through 38. Here we will take another look at the significant events that occurred in the temple on the eighth day following the birth of Jesus. I read from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the inspired word of God, that word that encourages us to learn from these examples of Simeon and Anna, who had prepared and waited their whole life for just that moment in time. They knew Jesus was the promised one because they knew God's word. They expected him, and they rejoiced and gave thanks. They knew for them and for Israel as well as the Gentiles, God had kept his promise. Our message this morning is titled, New Beginnings.
You know what my wife says to me every morning when I come up here? What do you say, Sonia?
Listen to the Lord.
She says, break a leg. like I'm going to run a race or I'm in a ball game or something. Feels like it sometimes, and I don't run. Anybody know what the rabbit population is right now? Too many. Too many rabbits. Or the pheasant. Or not enough. Or the deer. Still coming up? Yeah. How about the coyote? That's right. It just depends, huh? How many cars are hitting squirrels?
How many
coyotes are killing deer or rabbits? This was a a study done in an island in Michigan. And there was, you can find these all over the website. You see the moose population is down and the wolf population is up. And then moose population starts coming up, and or the wolf population starts going down because there's not enough moose, and then the moose population starts going up, and then, you know, you see how it goes. It's the same for deer. It's the same for rabbits and coyotes. They're opposed to one another. There's that whole saying, remember when it says this, Darwin said the survival of the fittest? Well, you know, there is something to that, but yeah, if you got too much of this other thing, it seems like the one thing dies out. It seems like things just overcome a moose population or an elk population. And then famine and not having enough overcomes the coyote and the wolf population. Something overcomes them, and they begin to die out. I'm glad to see that you made it to 2018. What did you overcome? May I say this politely, even those who passed in our presence overcame. You understand that we need to overcome as we're entering the kingdom. You ever thought about, you know, why am I here? I was born into a world that isn't too polite to me. It isn't too nice. I have to kind of strive and scratch and work things out. And if that wasn't enough, then the Lord saves me. Couldn't the Lord have just saved me and then, boom, I'm in heaven? I mean, like, snatch me away. Because, you know, once you're in the book of life, you're not erased, right? So just go to heaven. You ever thought about why we're still here? Why does he keep us here? Let's see, we get a new beginning in the birth, in the cradle, out of the womb. And then when Jesus gets us, we get another new birth. It's like a new creation, right? A new beginning. New beginnings. We got a new beginning. And so, Lord, that should be it, right? Born the second time? Nope. You got to stick it out. You see, God is love, and he didn't have to keep us. He didn't have to call us, let alone even make us. But he's love, and he's a creator, and that's what he does. And so then he creates us, and now we're born in sin. And so he says, well, let me recreate you, because that's what I do. Let me love you. But he doesn't have to take us home, because he's got more to do. He's got something that he's doing. In our times of darkness, when our life looks like it could just go out, why is everything coming in on me? I should be dying out. You know, actually, the birth rate is going down. It's been going down since the late 1950s. Took a big leap down to the 70s, and then it kind of steadied out. But it continues to go down, record-breaking the last couple years. Especially certain sections, especially the white community in America, the birth rate is very, very low. Why, you know, there are reasons for that. They actually asked people, women in particular, why would you not have a child, or why are you not having a child? Well, it's too expensive is number one. Or they want to take care of the ones they have, or there's the economy, they can't afford a child. Financial instability, they want more leisure time. Not enough paid family leave, not enough. There's too much global instability. The struggle with work life and balance, and they're worried about domestic politics. That's the top 11. There's more. In particular, there's the economy and fear of the global issues. And so this is going to keep people from having children and bringing them into a dark place. And yet Jesus continues to do it. Somebody is born again, and he says, okay, hang out a while. Lord, it's dark down here. I came to you for hope and joy. I came to you to be away from all this. Hang out a while. Endure. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing powers belongs to God and not to us. That's why. That is the number one reason why God is doing this. Now, look at this verse. You are a jar of clay. What do you put your valuables in? A safe? You keep it away from thieves and you keep it where things are not going to get broken, and yet we are a jar of clay in a very dangerous world, in a very fragile world, in a very dark place. And is the Lord wise in creating and bringing somebody into birth only to keep them in a very dangerous place? Yes, he's wise, because the all-surpassing power comes from him. He is the reason. He is the reason. Bob reassured us this morning. He actually asked for reassurance, or thought about reassurance, for the community and for people and for our nation, because that's what people are looking for. I didn't mean to go forward. He's talking about people looking for their place in the world and a new beginning. And yet, even us, many times, are saying, we are still here. We kind of know what's going on, but even Roger said, we don't know what's going to happen in 2019. And if we're not careful, it can scare us. If we're not careful, we can out-question God. Lord, what do you think you're doing? We have in our story this morning that Gary read, the new beginning. It's about a new beginning. It's about Jesus Christ's birth. It's about about Simeon's death. It's about Anna's being probably not having any children and being a widow for 50 plus years and alone. And she's 84 and probably looking at the death in the face. It's about these two believers who waited in the temple, and then only to see Jesus born, and they go off into the sunset. They go off and die after they saw and heard what happened. The shepherds heard, and then I'm assuming they died. Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth were given this child, their children. They saw and they heard, and then they died. What is this new beginning? We're going into a new year, and my question to you is, can you see what God has done? Gary was talking this morning about how the Bible, especially in Hebrews, is illustrative. It is picturesque. It can give you a picture of what is happening. And the Greek is very logical. It spells things out. We can see with our minds. We can hear with our hearts. Our minds and hearts, okay? Not just with our ears. And not just with our eyes. But we can see and we can know. And then look into 2019. And just like Roger said, have no clue what's coming. And so are we really ready? Are we ready to go into this new year? Is it dark? The stocks in the last last 10 days, the stock exchange fell 350 points six times. I'll say it again at the pulpit here. I don't understand stocks. God bless those who do. And that's established world economy, fine. But I don't get them, and I don't want to get them. You hear the bad word, and they fall. You hear a good word, and they're back up. It fell, and then it rose 1,000 points, only to fall again. It's weird, and I say ridiculous in a way. We have this sickness of Millie and Joe and Arliss and Nick and Helen and so many others, Connie. This sickness that some has taken some lives. We have a flu season in front of us that's supposed to be pretty hairy. Talk to Annette, maybe she's got more on that. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We got Russia talking about nukes and new hypersonic nukes, and now we're trying to figure out how we can shoot those down, and the Institute of War and some generals are saying there's going to be a world war in 2019. I'm just telling you what they're saying. Remember, this is a nonprofit organization. We don't prophesy, but that's what they're saying. The church is in decline. The world is persecuting the church. The Christians in Iraq have declined to 1/6 of what they were. 1.3 million to 250,000 and still being killed and scared out of their lands and out of their churches. Oh, Raymond, you're supposed to be preaching the good news. The good news. We just had several weeks of the Christmas story. And I hope that when we read those and we talked about those and you're talking about them at home and talking to others about this baby and this new beginning, that hope rose in your heart and you clapped your hands and sang and rejoiced and had meals together and rejoiced over his birth. And you should have. And we should, and we hope to in 2019. Because you have heard and you have seen the truth. You have heard and seen what God has done. And if you're paying attention, you are seeing what God is doing. Because all those things that I listed there, about the economy, about the church, about the world, about all these things, have been prophesied beforehand that they would come. And so the Lord of truth is telling his people, he says, remember, he says, I call you friends, and a friend tells his friend what he's doing. I'm paraphrasing. You're his friend, and he's telling you these things beforehand, that the numbers of the coyotes are on the increase, and the wolves are on the increase. And it's growing dark in many places. And yet we are to keep celebrating like Mary and her song, like Zechariah and his song, like the songs that we sang this morning that talked about conflict and doubt. Did you sing that? Many a conflict and many a doubt. Did you sing that? Saying, that's me. That is me. Going into 2018, I have no idea what's coming. Now, praise the Lord, we made it to 2018, and things are decent, we're here, and we're okay. But that holds no promise for what God, listen to me, what God will do in your life with your life and through your life in 2019. The Savior was born in pain. The Savior came in anguish. You know he lived, he was born in a cradle, a manger. And we know you sing that wonderful song, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head, and then no crying he makes. I love that song, but listen, no crying he makes, I don't believe that. How did he tell mom he was hungry? How did he tell his mom he had a dirty diaper? No, we can't talk about that, or we can't even go there. Well, the Bible goes there. It says in Hebrews 2:18 that he suffered as you did. And the Lord would say, well, I'm going to leave the baby thing behind. Okay, no diapers. No diapers. In 1 Peter 4:1, it says Jesus suffered. In Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' earthly life, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. So the new beginning for the world, this new beginning for this baby who you know he had a mom and dad who loved him and believed the promises. They didn't understand him, but they believed him and they loved him and still could not keep him from the cross. They could not keep him from stumbling or a bug bite or a dog bite or whatever. Because he was human and tempted in all ways as you and I are tempted. Born into darkness, and yet he brought light and he brought joy. Look at this verse, these verses. And the end of 8 days when he was circumcised. Do you think he cried when he was circumcised? Yes. Because he was in the flesh and it hurts. If you don't know what circumcision is, talk to your mom. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens that womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Listen, there is new birth here, and yet there is blood and pain. The first male opens the womb. There's blood and there's pain. Talk to the mom. Okay? And then there's the purification according to the law of Moses, and then the circumcision. And then you've got two turtle doves and two pigeons dying. Oh, you remember the scripture. He says, when a sparrow falls to the ground, he sees it. Jesus comes into this dark world of pain and even suffering. Our world that he gave us, and that he gives you new life and says, remain there. Abide until I come. Abide in this new world. No greater life has ever been born. No greater person will ever be born again. And yet he was brought this pain and blood and darkness and suffering for a new beginning for you and me. And yet, this was not a surprise. It was all prophesied. In Acts chapter 8, you have the eunuch reading, and he's reading the prophecy about Jesus, and he asks him, who is this person? This Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can count his descendants? For his life was removed from the earth. Daniel says he was cut off. That's what it means. Cut off, no kids. By the way, suffering and pain before you die, you're cut off. The Messiah? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was cut off out of the land of the living. Now, before you say I was a liar, that he did not open his mouth, what it means there is he did not defend himself. Because in Matthew 27, it says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He could take all the whippings and the bruisings and the blood and all of that stuff, all of that pain. But this one thing he was not wanting to endure, he did. He was willing. He didn't want to. He said, Lord, take this cup from me. And he cried out with tears. And he suffered in his new beginnings and in ours. So he cried there. Did he cry at nine hours old? Or 9 days old? Or 9 months old? Or 9 years old? I would assume he did. Because he was human. And he went through all of that for your new beginnings. But the new beginnings doesn't mean he's going to take you out of this world. He's going to take you through this life that you've been given. Now, the rapture, there is a taking out. Okay? That's a taking out. But meanwhile, he's going to take us through. In verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So Simeon told his mom, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. You've heard all this wonderful news from Gabriel. And you're full of joy and all this stuff, but let me tell you the rest of the story. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. And we already know, and we'll find out in the book of John, she doesn't understand. She doesn't get some things because she's a mom and she's feeling pain for her son and trying to save her son from the problems ahead. And he tells her, my work is not with you. He's going to tell her. My work is not with you. And so this child is appointed to cause many to fall, to hurt and to die in their sins. And many to rise because of their belief. And a sign that is opposed. In other words, people are going to be contradicting the Lord, opposing the Lord in his face then and now. And a pierce and a sword, that broad, heavy sword, not the little one, that broad, heavy sword will pierce your soul. And here's the reason. Here's the reason for the pain. So that many thoughts will be revealed. There's actually a clue for our life. That there's something ahead for us to do. And he's going to discipline us and work in us for a reason, which we'll get to in a minute. Matthew 10 says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. Do not think that I have come to bring peace. Time out. That's not the angel's song. That's not what the angel's saying. Peace on earth and goodwill. We always have to finish the song. To those with whom he is pleased. There's a sword that's been brought to between. It's not really between you and me or you and them out there. It is between God and his enemies. And we want to be pleased in him so that we will not be cut off from him. Luke 2 says, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. So, when Simeon and Anna were waiting, there were many years they were waiting in darkness and seeing what's happening to Israel and seeing what's happening with Rome. You see, Israel is the sheep, and Rome is the wolf. You got it? And Rome comes along, and it's growing big. And Israel is succumbed. And many died. Many died in the Holocaust, just the one that you and I think about. There's many Holocausts. Lots of them, and lots of Christians even today are dying. And yet, these two people knew this salvation, and they waited. And so my question, it's a very simple question, and maybe you think it's rhetorical, and maybe you think I'm trying not to play anything but a friend and a pastor, but are you ready for 2019? The Lord has given you a new beginning to endure the rest of your life for what he has for you. Are you ready? Have you answered the question, how many miles you're going to run a day? How many pounds am I going to lose? Doing the resolution, for you, go ahead and do that, okay? Go ahead and do that. But the number one question is, are you ready for God's work in 2019? Because we don't know what it is, and it may hurt. It may hurt. You see, there's glory ahead. There's a rising of many ahead. There's a redemption ahead, but not before blood, not before pain, and not before suffering. Simeon and Anna knew this well. Jesus knew this well. So did the disciples and the prophets. You know that Jesus was a forerunner. He's more like an example. John 13 says, "For I have given you an example that you also do just as I have done." You mean to turn away from the world and turn to the cross? You mean to give up my desires and go to the cross? That's suffering, folks. That's suffering in your flesh. 1 Peter says, "Christ also suffered for you, leaving you example, for you to follow in his steps." 1 Peter 4:1 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with the same resolve." There is your New Year's resolution. I'm arming myself for the resolve. Now, Lord, I'm going to pray for the best. And if you ever get my emails, I try to say to the Lord, bless you and keep you. In fact, look at the front of your bulletins. Look at the front of your bulletins. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Because that's what I want. That's what I want for me, right? I want his favor for me. But listen, Jesus Christ made peace through his blood. He made peace through his blood, Colossians 1. And so, why are we suffering? Let's go through a little thing. Let's go through a little bit here. Why are we suffering? First of all, it lists in 2 Corinthians 4 that we are going to be afflicted, we're going to be perplexed, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be struck down, we're going to always carry in the body, our body, the death of Jesus, we're going to always be given over to death. Anybody not dying here? Okay. Death is at work in us, so Paul's kind of reiterating the point, and our outer self is wasting away, just look in the mirror. So those things are happening. Those things are happening, and that means in one way, shape, or form, and I pray for you the lesser way, that you will suffer in 2019. Now, why? Let's get into a little bit here. One, why do we suffer? Number one, because we're human. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from it, bondage to corruption, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, the new creation, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly. Anybody not growing inwardly, groaning? Maybe the young people, like, no, I got my life ahead of me. I'm all good. Remember, we were talking, in fact, Dan was talking this morning about being young and lifting cars. And remember when we were young? And none of that stuff bothered us. And then we look into the 20-year-old's face and say, just wait. Just hold on. Gear yourself because you're going to get old. Number two, because we're needy. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in need, in my weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, my needs, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If we don't need him, we won't go to him. And so we go to him in our need. Number three, I'm sorry, there's another one. But I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my helper and deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. Number three, why do we suffer? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Wait a minute. Lord, are you telling me that this suffering is from you? Yes. Raymond, that's not good news. Is that really part of the gospel? That is the fulfilling of the gospel. Because, see, there's no good news if you don't have bad news. And the bad news is we're dying. And the bad news is I'm a sinner in my flesh, born in the flesh. And then I come to Jesus, new beginnings. And then he takes me through to the rest of the good news. But you got to get through this life. And we go to him. And by the way, he's training us through that. That discipline, that word there, is a military term. It's he's training you in this life unto righteousness. There is another one I've mentioned before where he talks about beatings. That if we go astray, he will actually beat us. Just read the rest of Hebrews chapter 12. Chastisement is a beating. We don't want that. We want his discipline though. Number four, authenticity. He wants to prove that our faith is authentic. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in various trials, so that the authenticity of your faith, more precious than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I've said this before and I don't want to delay, but he's not proving to him that you are authentic. He's proving to yourself, number one, and to your friends, number two, and to the principalities and the powers of the air, number three, that your faith is authentic. And Satan can go before the throne of God and cry for your soul all day long, and he won't get it. Number five, for reward. Yes, for reward. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy and unblemished and blameless in his presence, if indeed you continue in the faith. By the way, did you know that there are five crowns? There are five crowns to be had for a reward. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You're saved, and you're going to get there, but there's a reward for your suffering in this life. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Are you looking forward to 2019? When you get to those problems, remember this verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And then David has this little prayer in Psalm 80, 18. Revive us and we will call on your name. We will call on your name. I want to finish with this verse. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. So, in 2019, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's going to be very difficult for us who've lived in the body for 20 to 50 or 70 or 80 or 90 years. That when we go into 2019, and something happens, that we're going to tend to look at that problem and say, I am undone. I can't make it through this. I don't know how to do this. Lord, I didn't see this coming. And he's going to say, yes, you did not. But I did, just as Roger again said, that he sees those things coming. In fact, he plans this suffering for us, for a reward and to get us through this. Now, hear me out, please. I'm not saying that he wants us to suffer. I'm not saying that he wants to destroy you, wants to overcome you. He wants to use the things that are going to happen in your life so that you will overcome and glorify his name and be rewarded at the end. Lord, I pray for everybody here for 2019. Sometimes I think some of us are not really looking forward to the next year. We've left somebody behind in 2018. Our health has declined in 2018, and we're not the same going into the next year. We don't have the right job. We don't have the money. We don't have the place. Our relationships are broken. Whatever it is, Lord, our health. We're afraid to go into 2019. But, Lord, I pray that you will help us understand all these concepts, all five of these things, that will help us understand that this is your will and your purpose, and your strength will see us through, just as you saw your son through to the very cross, which we do not have to endure. We praise you for this, Lord. We honor you, Lord. And may I say even, we look forward to seeing your hand in the next year. In Jesus' name, amen.